Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Real and Christian Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, we've got a caller in the queue. First, want to let people know how to reach us today. If you're listening and haven't called in, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour, on our Blog Talk Radio profile page, that is. We do have a caller. What are you doing? We do have a caller in the queue, but there's a lot of background noise. And we're going to bring that caller on right now. 919.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Is there any way I could possibly get you guys to see if you could connect to my husband in spirit?
We've talked to you before. You're the person that has the husband.
Yes,
that
you have. Yes. And I'm just going through an awful lot of stuff right now, a lot of things, and have a couple of special days coming up soon. And I just wanted to know if there was anything that you could pick up.
What's your name again?
Jan.
Jan. And your birth date is?
7/25/1963. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so that's correct, yes.
Your birthday's tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. 63. And your husband was born 6/28/1954.
That's correct. You got good notes.
I have good notes. Yeah, this is not from memory. Sometimes I do remember people's birth dates, actually, but I didn't remember yours. This is from notes. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going through a lot of stuff right now. My dad's really sick, and just going through a lot of things, and I just need a little reassurance.
Your dad's sick. Your dad's sick. Are you praying for him?
I couldn't understand that last part.
Are you helping to care for him? Is your mother still alive?
No, my mom's not alive.
Are you helping care for
my father.
Okay, that's what I thought. And what's your father's birthday, just out of curiosity?
September the 5th,
1938. Oh, you guys have an impulse connection. 14/24/35/8. Well, she's the same karmic and master number as your husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're the same karmic and master number. You and your dad are really connected. Your birth dates, your years are interchangeable. I'm sorry, they align.
Okay.
Actually, so when you align them, they become one another's year when you line them up on top of each other. But when you put an X in the middle of them, your three to his three is actually your karmic number 33. The first thing I want to ask you is, have you had any dreams lately about your husband?
I have dreams, but I know that I connect with him, but it's It's almost like I can't remember, but I know that I'm, you know, with him. It's like I have that feeling. You know, sometimes I wake up crying because it's the, you know, first thing on my mind. And, you know, when I wake up, it's like I've been with him.
Yeah, because that's the first thing that I'm getting as far as an impression about.
And I just don't understand why I can't remember them, you know?
You know, there may be a way that you can prepare yourself before you go to sleep that you will remember, you know, that you will remember your dreams. Laying on your back and doing some deep breathing and visualizing before you go to sleep might help you, and preparing yourself and telling yourself you're going to remember the dreams when you wake up. That might help to program your mind to remember. So that's the first thing that I'm getting. Neil, anything that you want to say to Jan? She wants to connect with her husband.
Yeah.
Do you remember her husband? Do you remember the situation?
He motorcycle, but it could have been a heart attack.
Yeah, he crashed, but it was like
the
crash was that dramatic.
Yeah, I recall. Did your husband wear glasses?
No, he did not. He wore them for like reading, you know, but and same thing for myself.
He wore reading glasses.
He wore them. So then he wore.
Yes.
He did wear glasses.
He wore glasses
for reading.
Was there any kind of fiction that he liked to read? Any kind of, you know, book, adventure?
He didn't read. No, he didn't read a whole lot. He was more into like mechanical type things, as far as reading about things like that. But as far as like movies, he always was attracted to like horror movies, scary movies.
Scary movies. And your father crossed over too?
No. She's taking care of her father.
Oh, taking care of her father.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, James, let me ask you something. Do you read? Are you a reader?
What I read now is just trying to, you know, build myself more spiritually and just trying to delve into, you know, connecting, you know, with my husband and past loved ones in spirit. I just try to get as much information as I can.
Okay. So what you're doing in reading all of this information, trying to connect to your husband, there apparently he seems to be aware that you're doing that. So what I'm getting so far in the message is that he's aware that you're reading about trying to connect to him. And he's trying to connect to you through this process as well. Now,
okay.
Who's the person that drinks a lot of water?
My father does.
Your father drinks a lot of water. So you're taking care of him like in at home in a bedroom?
He is, you know, just not doing really well. He stays by himself, but I'm over there a lot and I take him, you know, to all his doctor's appointments and that type of thing.
Okay, so what we've got so far is that in trying to connect to your husband, whatever you're reading, I don't know what you're reading, but whatever you're reading, what strikes me as significant is that you're reading material trying to connect to him, about things trying to connect to him, and he's trying to join you in that attempt and connect to you in that way.
Right, which goes back to what I initially said to her about dreams, if she's having any dreams about him, which she is, but she's not recalling them. This is going to sound weird. Before you talked about, well, I'm getting something about jeans, like blue jeans. Did he wear blue jeans at all, a lot, or like them, or do you? Is there?
My husband?
Yeah.
Is that? Yes, he wore blue jeans, yes.
Because that's, I don't know, for some reason, that's coming in. But also, he did mechanical stuff, you said? He was...
Yes.
And I I think that somehow is connected to the genes, because that's what I was thinking prior to the statement about mechanical. Did he work in blue jeans when he did mechanical work?
Okay. Yeah, he did a lot.
All right. So that's there.
Okay, so we're determining that we're making some kind of connection to him. Kristen mentioned dreams, but I want you to do an experiment, and what I want you to do is to put on a table, like in a bowl, a little bit of water, and I want you to at times just look over at that water and see if there's any movement in it, as though someone were there putting their finger in it and making it ripple.
Right.
There seems to be that there might be a significant physical connection he can make with you, first of all, by making a movement in this case, water. So you just, just enough water to where you could detect if it's rippling or if somebody had actually put their finger in it and tapped it.
Okay. I feel like I connect to him. I do that, but I just want more of,
We're telling you how, that movie Ghost, did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
It's sort of like that. Souls and spirits have a hard time connecting to the physicality of the world. But once they do, they can accomplish certain small things. And he is, what appears to be is that he's willing to do a building dialogue with you. Or maybe he's capable of it. Whereby it's just not going to be, did he like a picture? Yeah, he has a picture. Oh, did he like, brownies? Yeah, he ate brownies. We're going to try to do something different here. The idea is that we're going to try to manifest something physically. So the first thing to do would be to put, like I said, water in something. You can, what are some of the things you can do? I don't know. Let's start there right now and see if we get any results from that. Now, you might say, doesn't water have its own ability to make a movement if something stirs or something? Well, maybe. But we just want to start there right now. If we can get deeper into this quest, then there might be a direct significant message he wants to give you other than, I love you and, he's crossed over. He's not coming back in the physical body right now.
Right, that's right.
So,
that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for, I want something else besides him just saying, I love you or I'm sorry or, because that kind of is like for everybody. I want something else more specific.
That's what I thought.
It's what I want.
So we're going to try to do that. Other things you might look for are strange things and objects, like you find a quarter in your shoe. Anything, let's start off the ball there. Or, anything weird in the physical world.
Or an interaction with like a bird or an insect, possibly.
Maybe, but I want to keep it in the house right now.
Yeah, you probably don't want birds in your house.
I want to keep it in the house so we don't have people to buy.
Yeah, well, that's kind of...
Well, I get the signs like that. I have hawks around me all the time in the oddest places. Usually when I'm going down the road, I don't care where I'm at. If one's going to be there. Favorite color was yellow. And I see yellow, just this morning. It was a yellow butterfly. I see these things,
Or insects, which it's not specific enough for you, but I mean, there's some connection on that level to what's going on in your environment. So,
It is. And I know it is, and I acknowledge it, you know, but and I'm thankful and I thank, you know, Spirit for that, but
you know, as far as an object appearing or water moving in the home, is that going to satisfy you? I know it's the beginning. I understand, but
if there's going to be
something. Well, I think a lot of it too is, you know, each one of us building our faith that this is, you know, really happening, and that way it manifests, you know, into something, you know, bigger. You know, that's the way I feel about that. I think a lot of it is the belief, you know.
Yeah.
And trusting
it. Let's start off there. One quick question. Anyone with a, just as I get off the topic, anyone with a baseball bat, anything with baseball or a baseball bat?
No, I just, it's just me picking up on your thought process.
Well, my boys, both of them went to college and played baseball, and I always keep a baseball bat in the back of my car. With a ball, I do always keep that in the back of my car.
We see the baseball in the car.
What do you mean you see a baseball?
Because your kids have baseball.
Okay. Well, he's here, and he's making attempts, but let's make it a little bit more eerie, if you will, by making something manifest in the physical realm. We'll see if we can get there.
Okay, I'll try it. I sure will. I will try it.
Are you, just real quick before we let you go, are your kids, are you getting any support from them? These weren't children with this guy, right?
No. He is absolutely not. He is absolutely not, which is very sad to me. But my boys, not so much because they're busy and kind of tied up with their things. But my daughter, yes. I get a lot of support from her.
Oh, well,
family.
That's good. Then at least you have that going on. And keep in touch with us, Jan. You know, we encourage you to like our page on Facebook.
I enjoy listening to you guys, and thank you for letting me call in and ask questions, because that kind of helps me on, you know, learning things. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah, we appreciate the caller support on our pages, and so we encourage you to do that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, it's difficult. The physical manifestations of an actual spiritual soul,
it's crude.
Manipulating something is hard, because things like that happen all the time, and it has nothing to do with ghosts or anything. Even I made a mistake once. I kept thinking I was hearing a cat in the hallway. Whenever I walked in the hallway, it was the floor creaking when I put my foot on the
floor. Not in this house.
It was quite some time ago, but... you know, you can make mistakes, especially when you're psychic and you're used to these things. And then when something happens in the natural world, you sometimes get confused until you figure it out. I always try to figure it out first to make sure there's a rational explanation, and I just don't jump to conclusions.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've been hearing a cat, but you heard a cat the other day that wasn't there.
Yeah.
In the hall. So we've both been hearing it, interestingly enough.
Yeah, we were hearing your cat. So,
which, you know, isn't.
There are.
Sorry,
no,
I'm eating.
It's weird, because when you cross over, you go into the astral realm. It's parallel to our universe. It's the first immediate parallel universe we have. And there is activity there, all kinds of activity. What we call human activity or spirit or soul activity. There's angels, there's guides, there's even demons, there's astral phenomena, there's portals,
things. I do not want to be connected to the earth once I'm dead.
Yeah.
I want to be far, far away. We've got callers. So.
Okay.
Far away from the earth. Hi, Jennifer. And 919 is next, by the way. Okay. Hi. Are you there?
Hi, it's Jennifer. Yes.
Hi. Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good morning.
You are.
I know you, yeah, barely afternoon. I know you did the numerology, but I think I gave you the wrong date for that guy I'm seeing, and we're still about but now I have the real one. But you know, we're at sort of some sort of, he needs to make a decision about what's going on. So
crossroads. Did you, yeah. Okay.
Can I give you his numbers?
Yeah.
September 17th, 1972.
Well, I know, I think I remember that it was the 17th. Was it the wrong year?
It was the wrong year.
Yeah. Because I remember that birth date. You gave us what? Do you know? 9, 10.
I think 20. I gave you 71.
Okay, 27. I mean, but so he's a 36.9. And he would have been a 35.8. I remember the conversation about this guy.
What's her person?
She's 4370.
Yeah.
She's 24.6.
Yeah.
So you're at a crossroads, meaning you're trying to figure out if you're going to go forward with a relationship.
Yes. It's that magical 6 month part, you know, when you get to the 6 months, you sort of decide what you're going to do. So,
well, have you talked about it? I mean, is there any kind of conversation, or is it just kind of coasting into this, you know, not knowing what's going on type of situation?
I've had the conversation, but I sort of left the ball in his court, and he keeps saying that we're going to have the talk, or he's going to make a decision, but it's been, you know, maybe a week and a half now, and he keeps saying, well, I'm too tired to talk about it, whatever. So he's putting it off. So I think he's maybe waiting for some magic bullet to give him the answer, but avoidance is, people do avoid things. So
yeah.
It's a strategy.
I think I can't remember exactly what we said about this guy, but what did we say? Because I don't think it's going to, the numbers, the year, the difference in the year. He's a 9 versus an 8. I mean, she's a 6. Yeah, but he was an 8 with the incorrect year when she gave us the birthday. So. What I'm trying to say is I don't think it's going to be that different. The information about him, I think, was an accurate read, despite the slight difference in the birth date. He would have had a reflection in his day and his year with the 1971. But it's, you know, I think the read was accurate. I think we say you had a high sex drive, something like that. And that, well, what did we say, Jennifer?
Yeah, there was a sexual attraction. You said that. And then, so the physical attraction was there. But it was, there was a lot of uncertainty about anything else to go. And
anything solid to move it forward into that space that you want, which is long-term commitment, which I think is,
yes.
I mean, that's exactly what's happening now. You've broached the subject of getting more serious, and he's avoiding the topic. So, I mean.
Well, you know, there's steps to a relationship, and each step has a certain comfort level, and he's probably very comfortable.
Yeah.
At a certain place in the relationship, you're trying to maybe push it somewhere deeper. And what's compelling him is that he wants the relationship. He wants it on his terms. Now you're trying to take it to a deeper place. So he's thinking, my God, do I try to maintain this comfort level that I'm in as long as possible? Or do I prepare myself to go deeper into the relationship? He's giving you a message that he may be willing to take it deeper, but he's trying to avoid it, but he may be willing. He may be willing. He probably has to decide a few things about settling down and making a commitment. The reason he's pausing with you is he doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to say something that he's not ready to do yet. So he's saying, I don't know yet. Just don't know if I'm ready. But I think when he makes up his mind, this guy follows through. So he's thinking, if I tell her that I want to go deeper into the relationship, I've got to do it. So I'm not ready yet, but I'm thinking about it. That's where I think he is. Now, what he may do, preceding this decision is he may bring you a present. He may bring you a token or a present.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it lightly. Just take it silently to yourself that this is a gesture. He's trying to get closer and work this out.
What were you going to say, Jennifer?
Well, I sort of, because I have a little bit of my spidey senses on my own. So when I did see him last week, and I said, I do strongly feel that you have feelings for your ex-girlfriend. And reason being, it's not rocket science, he mistook what I liked to, he would make mistakes on things that I liked, but there were things that she liked. So, and he admitted that, yes, he has unresolved feelings, but I said, well, if you do, I said, by all means, it's do what you got to do. It's not like I'm not going anywhere, but it's not like, that would upset me. So I think he's trying to get a handle on it, whether or not, and that woman dumped him to the curb and was very unkind. So I think it's up to him if that's what he feels he deserves, if he wants to make that choice. But I put the ball in his court because I'm like, but he admitted, it's honest. He admitted he did still have feelings for her, so.
Well, I mean.
Ultimately a mature guy, he can have feelings for her, he can have feelings for you, but a mature guy is going to make it up his mind and decide what he wants. And then just let go of what still might be somewhat desirable. The question here is there a karmic element between him and this girl? And is there something deeper working through his consciousness?
You probably don't have her birth date, Jennifer, do you?
No, I don't. But I know she's younger than me. So that's all I know.
Your problem is he's not, again, common story. He's not mature enough to make a decision.
That's what we said in the first reading. That we didn't see a long-term situation with this guy, that he was somewhat avoidant, if I'm remembering correctly. And that's kind of what's manifesting in the present, unfortunately.
He's kind of like, you got a car, you like the car, but you got to warm it up before it starts. You got to temper with the gas pedal. You're working to make the relationship work. You're doing a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the car, but you don't have the immediate efficiency of what a car should do. You have a guy, but you're doing a lot of work to get him started. And it may be okay at some point, but the fact is what you've got to do, Jennifer, is say, is this worth it? How long do I do this? Or do I just say, look, have a happy life. I'm moving on. It's not, no offense. You're not ready for a committed relationship with me. And that's fine. I'm moving forward. You gotta set the stage, and so you don't walk on waiting for his lines to, like a play. You say something and he's going, how can you do a play like that? Well, you might have to move on. You got to decide that, Jennifer. Well, here's what psychically what Chris and I can do. We get to, psychics can maybe do something. I just know this from history. We're going to stimulate the energy a little bit, see if we can help you out a little bit. So what I want you to do, and I hate saying this, even as I say it, I think it's silly, and I don't care. You're not going to be, I think it's silly, but I want you to light a candle. I want you to light a candle. Now, I don't want to light candles. We don't light candles because we have fire problems.
You're afraid of fire. You're paranoid of fire.
I don't like fires. So if I light a candle, I'm going to be staring at it until it goes out. But I want you to light a candle in a safe place. I don't want you to burn your house down or it goes on a curtain.
I did that at Christmas with a candle, by the way.
Were you sad? You stared at it?
Oh, you burned your house?
No, I left it on and left the house, and my dining room caught fire.
You're kidding.
See? That's
my God.
So the candle thing, I said no more candles for me.
Well,
right.
In this case, you can light a candle and
see what I mean.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
That proves my point. That proves my point that you actually did it, and there was a suggestion. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to light the candle, and just for maybe 20 minutes, hang around the candle.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget about it.
And then what? Yeah, don't leave. If you can't stay there 10 minutes, then say 10 minutes.
Okay.
Anywhere 10 to 20 minutes, light this candle.
Yeah.
Don't leave the room because you're going to build an energy. You're going to build an energy. You know, it's like the first caveman discovers fire and he goes, you know, maybe if I put some meat over this, and let me think about that. So what you're going to do is you're going to light this candle and you're going to put into it romance. You're not going to put a marshmallow over it. You're going to put romance. And you're going to say, if there's any way to build a sense of romance, connection with this man, then let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't happen in 7 days, if he doesn't step forward in 7 days, I make a commitment to move on and find somebody else. If he wants to come during that time and make a commitment, that's fine, but I'm not going to wait. So it's sort of like Grimm's fairy tale. You're doing something. I feel like I'm a leprechaun, but you're doing something to make something happen. And Chris and I will make a note that we will establish a sense of some commitment. Now, within those 7 days, if he comes and says something, take that for a good sign.
Or gives it to her, you were saying. Right?
If you find out that he married the other woman, then you know that didn't work.
Well, I mean, you know, and it's a matter of what you're comfortable with too, Jennifer. I mean, you might want to stick around this guy and just accept what he's giving you. I don't know, at that level.
No, I like the candle thing. I think that's a great idea. Because
I'm not saying
some energy into manifestation.
I'm not saying not to do the candle, but what I'm saying is if he doesn't after 7 days and the candle, all this, I'm not sure. Are you ready to walk away from him or are you going to stay and just kind of accept what he's giving you on level?
I don't accept that because if I've asked for a conversation around it, I don't think it should take 2 to 3 weeks to, you know, think these things through, no matter how slow a thinker you are. So I think another week, I like having a deadline. So I think that's great. And that gives me something to focus on. Yeah.
I think that's good. I think that's very good
and
healthy.
Let's keep it there. Let's keep it there. And candles are not, you know, the Catholics like candles for the dead. The Jews like candles. Everybody likes, candles are a
big
deal.
Everybody likes candles. But
but people who light their houses on fire.
Right, exactly. But, you know, a lot of psychics will say light a candle. But there's really not an energy field behind it. And this is going to be infused with an energy that produces a response or some type of action within 7 days. And if it doesn't, then that means probably time to move on. Okay.
That's good. Friday to Friday. Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jennifer. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. We have a caller from 919. Hi.
Hi. This is Kay.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, can we call in?
It's funny. You know, you called the last time you called on the same day as our former caller. And it's the same area code, but it's really kind of weird. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 24, 36, 9. So what's going on? What's going on with your job?
Well,
is that what you're calling about?
Oh, my God. No, actually, the job is doing – the manager's left. The job is going well. You know, I'm working through my manager – my new manager now, which was her manager, the executive director. You know, he's learning with me. So things are going very well. Right now it's a very hectic time because of this is our peak area. And we're making it. And I'm doing
what I need to do. So I feel good about it. I feel really good about it right now.
Are they going to move you into that role? I mean, that was kind of what we talked about last week.
I know. There hasn't been any discussion. See, I work for the state, and fortunately, there have been no furloughs, but there's no hiring like this moment. So the only reason I wouldn't move into it is if they choose not to go with me or not to fill the position, because I am doing it. I'm doing it with my manager, well, with the executive director, but nobody said anything just yet.
Okay.
That would be nice.
Okay. Okay, just checking up on that. But you have another question, so
Yes. So I kind of all over the place right now, but I think I'm going to pinpoint it to one area. The things with my partner are going so great, so great. And she has been introduced to this business venture that a lot of people are in. And I'm excited for her and doing it with her, but I'm not as gung-ho as she is because of something that has happened. I'm just trying to see, do you see this thing being productive? Because I don't want a lot of energy put into it if it's going to flop. And I don't want to put that out there in there.
It's not like a pyramid scheme, is it?
Yes, it almost is. It almost feels
like
it. They keep insisting that it's not. They keep insisting that it's not, but it feels that way.
Okay. I don't know. You don't probably want to say what the business is. Can you tell us the product, at least, like the type of product that you're selling?
It's not even a product. It's not a product. It's a money transferring. How can I say this? They don't use the word invest, but for this conversation, I'm going to say you invest the dollar amount, and there's four levels, and you have to keep that going. So you get a return off of more people coming in with that dollar amount. I know.
Have you checked them out with, you know, I don't feel good about this at all, but have you checked them out with the Better Business Bureau? Is there any complaints?
Well, no, there isn't. And see, that's the thing, because this system has been around for years. I mean, years and years and years and years. And it changes, meaning you, like, say, if you two wanted to get your group, you can set the rules on how it looks. So there's been a lot of documentation about the actual name of it, and it's been praised because it can work. But as with anything, somebody can go left.
Okay, so I was thinking it was a new company, but it's not. You said the opposite.
Oh,
but
no,
it's been around.
No.
For a really long time. Is it a company?
Yes.
It's a company?
No.
A company name.
It's not a company's name, but no, it's not a company. But
so
I hate to say it.
It's a method of transferring money. But
in a family, like a foundation, yeah.
Huh. I
hate that I called in without being able to say the name, because I don't want to.
It's okay. It's fine.
I wouldn't. You're asking us. I wouldn't.
I get her to understand that? Because we're just now getting on track, and feel good about it.
How much do you have to invest into the thing initially?
Well, this one here, the one that I'm more concerned about, how it's going, is $100. But there is another one that's $500, and it moves at a slower pace. It has, how can I say this? I see the different caliber of people, the different level of people who do that, because in that one I have seen, and then there's some even higher, I've seen doctors, attorneys, CPAs, who are doing that because it reinvests to the community. That I have a little more faith with, but this particular one, this $100, and it just is fast paced. It's almost like online gambling to me, and I just can't get excited about it.
So there are, but it's not just one. So the method of transferring has been around for a long time, but there are different avenues in which you can do transfer.
Yes.
And so,
how you done?
So, yeah, how does it work?
It still feels like a... Okay, so...
How does it work?
Let's say if we have 8 people, and those 8 people give $100. They move from that level that they're on to the next level, and those 8 people have to come up with, well, a total of 8 people. I ain't gonna say you got an individual has to come up with 8 people, but that next level. So when those next level of 8 people come in, it moves you up a level closer to getting the $800. So if you put in that $100, you will get $800 back, but you're supposed to give back each, you know, so you're giving back $100. So it's a continuous circle. Well,
you invest
$100. You don't have to. Yeah. You invest $100, you get $800.
And you get $800.
You give $100 back.
Yes. And you give $100 of the $800 back.
Yes.
So you get $700 or $500. Well, no. $500.
You actually get $600 because you invested $100 anyway.
Yeah. You invested $100 and you get back $100, so you get $6. And then, so these chains that come up of funding, they're established how? It's so confusing.
Well, how do you advance? What do you have to do to advance?
That's the issue. To advance, more people need to participate in that board, that circle, or whatever they want to refer to it. So, again, the outer circle has 8 slots. So once 8 people are in with $100, they move down.
So what you're dealing with, essentially, there's no work to be done. You're just dealing with human participation in joining the group,
right,
and making money.
Yes.
You're investing,
yes,
on contingency that more people are going to invest. And then the outline is that something goes back to the community and you're also making money.
Yes.
And in theory,
it sounds good. I don't know.
I mean, it's not an extraordinary, it's not an exorbitant amount of money. And if you want to just play a little bit with your girlfriend and just say, okay, I'll own that. You know, what's the worst that could happen? I could lose $200 or whatever.
Well, it would be $100 she'd lose if she didn't gain anything.
She's talking about the $500 investment.
Well, she's saying she's not in. She's talking about the $100 that she's more, because she's more comfortable with it. She's not comfortable with the $500.
No, she's more comfortable with the $5.
No, she's more comfortable with the $1, right?
No, I'm more comfortable with the $500 because I know the people in that. It's just the way that the $100. I know it sounds crazy to say that, but the $500 because the $500 because let's say the five. Okay, I should have put this part in. This $100, it's like constant. So you know they're trying to push this through every 3 to 5 days or 3 to 5 days. With the $500 again, it's like you reinvesting. So we're looking at a month of how things, and even with that, it's set up different. You can't just call somebody and say, okay, I need you to do this right now. No, there's a time period. There's an open period when people can join in. It's more structured. It's almost like this $100 was a branch off. You know how like somebody, I have a store and then they branch off and sell knockoff stuff. I shouldn't say it that way, but I feel that way.
You're gambling. If you're willing
to gamble. And I'm not a gambler.
$500,
you know,
I mean.
It's $500. You know, it's like saying, let's go to Las Vegas. I'll go with you and I'll gamble a budget of $500 and we'll see what happens. And I'm willing to lose it, but I'll go with you and I'll put out $500. You're gambling. There's a little bit more emphasis on maybe community consciousness, and you'll make more money. But your original investment of $500, you may have to kiss goodbye. But if you want to do it and you can afford it and have fun with it and just see what happens, then do it. If you can't afford it and you feel reluctant and it's not really money you want to gamble with, don't do it. And if your girlfriend gets mad at you for not doing it, well, that's a red flag.
Yeah. Well, she's not mad about it because she understands my position. I'm just not wanting her to get all, how can I say this? I don't want her to invest money that we don't really need because she is a true gambler. She has no problem gambling. Me,
well,
I work way too hard for my money.
Well, if she wants to, I mean, if you have a girlfriend that has a gambling, she has an incentive to want to gamble and play with money, just keep your money separate.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And advice, don't mingle your monies with her monies on any occasion. Never, period, never.
Okay.
Not, oh, I did a little bit, never.
Well, they did mingle money already. You put a down payment
on
the home, and so there is money.
Right.
Okay, well, like, you know, worse things could happen. She's not a cannibal, and you're investing
in
her
problem,
diet.
Well, the problem is, though, if they're moving forward into a relationship and moving into this home together, because that was, we talked about that on the last show, then there's going to be some mingling of funds or being on title together because the home was purchased by the two of you. And there is a problem because if there's not some kind of unionization and how to handle money, then there could be a problem with their investment.
Exactly. And that's exactly where I'm going. Yes, that's exactly where my thought process is going. Because, and I hate to say it this way, but if this is the aha, okay, great. Because now we can see and move. But I'm just concerned about this because it just doesn't feel right. And I know I'm very intuitive, but I also try not to put my feelings onto her. It just doesn't feel right.
Well, yeah, we don't get a good vibe. I mean, I personally wouldn't do anything like it. And, you know, I wouldn't do it. Neil wouldn't do it.
No.
I just don't feel it. Okay, so I'm not crazy. Okay, gotcha.
No, you're not crazy, but you've got to have a conversation with her if you're moving into the house and you're going to both. Are you on the title? I can't remember. You're not on title. Only her.
No, not yet. Not yet.
But,
I'm here at the house right now, so we're moving in that direction. Yeah.
Okay, you work hard for your money, so you put your money into places that are safe. You work hard for your money. It's much better to have a moderate gain than to start to gamble in more volatile, risky ventures. You work hard for your money. So keep your money at the level that it's at and make modest gains because you know they're safe. Don't get mixed up into losing hard-earned money. If you had a different attitude about money and you were a human being that didn't care and you loved to just ride the high waves, then do that. But that's not what I'm getting from you. So I'd be conservative. I'd be conservative, but I wouldn't. Do you have substantial savings? Have you made a substantial amount of savings that you've kept?
I did until I lost my job, and now I'm rebuilding that.
Oh, then you rebuild
definitely,
it on conservative steps.
Exactly.
Yeah. And while I'm like, and I guess a part, I don't know if part of me is like, but I know she loves me. I love her. We're going to be able to work this out. Sometimes, whenever that partner, the spouse, or whomever says things, sometimes it sounds like you're nagging or preaching. And I don't want it to hit her in the face and cause major financial issues. But I also don't want to be, you know, like kind of left off guard whenever it happen. I pray it wouldn't, but I just don't feel good about it. I really don't. And I mean, we talked about it. We continue to talk about it. Yeah.
Don't do it, and don't do the. $500. I wouldn't want to lose $500. I mean, you're saying you know the people; it's safer, but you know there's a risk.
Yeah.
And
okay.
You know.
Okay.
You know. I mean,
okay.
You can do what you want. I mean, if you feel safe doing the $500, then do, you know. You
okay.
Can,
if I
what you want.
I just didn't know how you were feeling. I just didn't know what you're feeling you were getting on it. So it sounds like you probably are feeling the same that I'm feeling.
Yeah, I just, you just say, listen, I've lost a lot of money. My job was compromised. I need to save right now. And I just don't want to go into any ventures where I have excess capital where I can play around a little bit.
But there's, you know, there's the issue of, you know, down the road when you're moving in and getting on title about how she spends her money because now you're combining your energy.
It becomes, exactly.
Her actions are going to affect you. I mean, you have to work as a team you know.
That's where my mind is. That's where I am. I'm thinking about, since we're moving forward, and we talked, but I think these are just the things that I should have talked about way before, but definitely now that we're moving in, how that looks, because, I mean, like you said, you can have separate incomes, savings, of course, but there also has to be some joint, and I just need to make sure.
Right. I mean, even if you don't have joint savings accounts, if you own a house together, that's an investment and an asset.
Exactly.
And if she's not responsible
exactly.
for money and you're both paying the mortgage, then you've got a problem. I mean, if she's not,
they're not married.
Yeah, but she's going to get on title.
I know, but she doesn't have to have a joint account.
No, she doesn't have to have a joint account.
She's saying it's somewhere, in some place, she should have a joint account.
No. She doesn't have to have a joint account. No, you don't.
Joint.
I said she didn't have a joint account. But the problem, what I'm saying is the problem is if they're on title together, is that if one of them isn't being responsible with the spending, it could affect
different.
Their investment.
Well,
whether or not you have
I went through that with my first marriage years ago, and I just know how terrible that turned out. So I don't need to have that mindset anymore. I would be
very careful then.
Keep it separate.
I am.
Well, they can't keep, she can keep it separate, but going on title with someone is still an issue.
Can't change. I'm saying anything above and beyond that, they should keep their finances separate.
Yeah. I agree. But that
finances,
but you know,
don't compound it by having more joint accounts.
Yeah, you've got to have, when you decide to get on title with her, you've got to have some kind of agreement about.
And that's before, I got to have that. I should have had the conversation way before, but now moving forward, that has to be established, definitely.
Does she have savings? I mean, what are her spending like habits like other than?
Not good.
Really?
Because she's getting better now. Way before I came along, she was starting to get better now.
She should follow your path, not you follow her path.
And that's going to be the case because I can't take chances on things. I don't want to go back to not having, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't be so paranoid about your relationship's going to get disturbed because you're not agreeable on things like this. Just set the standard and, let your love with her be the ruling factor, not whether you both can be involved in money schemes together.
Does she make her all her payments though on her bills on time and her mortgage?
She's gotten better now. She had ran into some financial issues. No, she ran into some financial issues because she's much better now. She has
she's
to be.
Keep your money separate.
Well, how long has it been though since she's got behind on her mortgage?
I'd say 9 months or so. It's just now back on track. I'll say a year.
That is a warning sign because if you get on title with her and she's not able to make payments, you're responsible for that mortgage and it's all on you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would be very careful entering into any type of contract with her because of her past. You know, so that's a concern. But as far as your immediate question, I think we gave our answer on what we think.
Yeah, and I knew what I was feeling. I just wanted to see what your feelings were around that venture. I didn't think it felt great for me, but again, I'm on the inside, so trying to get some clarity.
The immediate question is deeper. The immediate question is, when I'm in a relationship, where are my boundaries? And how do I establish boundaries and still be in love in a healthy relationship? You need to establish boundaries without losing the fact that you can be in a healthy relationship. If you discard your boundaries, then what would otherwise be a healthy relationship will become an unhealthy one.
True.
So just
I guess that answered that question.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Well,
thank
hopefully
you.
That helped, Kay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. Like I said, I just needed to know what you were picking up around this venture, and I guess I knew what I was feeling wasn't too far off, so thank you.
Okay. Well, have a great day. And
thank
we'll
you
talk
so much.
You.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah, as much as it's entertaining to look at people's birth dates and how they connect, and it's not to say that two people can't go into an adventure together with some risk, and that's all great, but then you've got to also be practical.
Yeah.
And, some psychics might say, oh, go into it, you'll be a millionaire. But, the idea of looking at a fantasy because you get a vibe that maybe something's going to happen is not always the best way for any advisor, to counsel, or psychic to make a sound reasoning on something.
I mean, obviously as a reader, you have to go outside of your own personal experience to, and be neutral giving advice for other people. But I will say that a vice that I have never had in my entire life is gambling. I've always stayed away from it.
I once lost a nickel in a parking lot called 911.
Shut up. Yeah. Right.
And then for calling 911, I was put in jail and had to post bail, so I lost more than the nickel.
Okay. And I think it's, I would probably never advise anybody to gamble.
Gambling is...
It's just...
It's a difficult thing. I had a client that was really into gambling. We tried everything we could to make it work, and it didn't. I don't know. And I've had people who made money gambling, but gambling is not something that... some people are just lucky, and they have a good energy for gambling, and it can be exciting. And it's a craft, it's a talent, and it's a lot of luck.
Well, seeing the psychic,
a lot of intuition.
Seeing the psychic, I mean, I commend you on your attempts to make the gambling work for this person, but seeing a psychic and putting all your energy into making gambling work is very short-sighted. It's not something that you're going to go up there after you die and get commended for.
It's nothing like that.
If
someone wants to gamble and their ambition is to help others once they get rich, and they just have this compulsive creative need to want to gamble, it's in their blood. I mean, I don't mind working with something like that. Is there a special end to the road where somebody just leaps over and becomes successful in gambling? I don't know. Sometimes you have to kind of explore that.
Well, I mean, there are people that are successful in gambling.
Yeah.
There are. But
at some point you can't, as a psychic, you can't limit. Like, I wouldn't.
Well, that's what I said. Well, that's what I said. You can't, you have to get outside of your own ego in order to help people. You have to be neutral. So even though I was saying I would never gamble myself, obviously there's a time and a place helping someone in a position that they're in where they're doing something that you wouldn't do, obviously.
Right.
Obviously. So, but anyway, we're out of time. We're out of time. And back on the air Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and we will speak with you then. Bye-bye.